This episode is part of the 2017 Ann Arbor District Library Summer Game and has clues embedded in it that can be used to win points and glory in the Summer Game itself. Just listen for the special sound effect at certain points in this episode and go to play.aadl.org and follow the instructions on how to use this knowledge for personal gain. You certainly don't have to play the game in order to enjoy this episode. This is Ann Arbor Stories, and we have one live show left this summer. Join us on Monday, July 10th at 7 p.m. at Literati Bookstore when Ann Arbor Stories will present two all-new stories live with music, photos, video, all the rest. We'll present that at the second floor coffee space at Literati Bookstore, Monday, July 10th at 7 p.m. Hopefully we'll have time for a Q&A, get a chance to speak to some of you, buy some books. It'll be great. July 10th, see you there. Now for the episode. This is Ann Arbor Stories. I'm Rich Redding. You can't talk about the amazing life of Geraldine Seaback without talking about the Music Mobile. But you better not talk about the Music Mobile and gloss over the amazing life of Geraldine Seaback. So you get two stories in one. The Music Mobile rolls onto the scene in the summer of 1963, giving us 55 years of material to tell the story of Geraldine before we hit the road in her revolutionary ride. Geraldine Schlemmer was born July 15, 1908, 5 years after the Wright brothers' first flight, and lived at 537 3rd Street, just a little north of Madison. Geraldine's father owned the Ann Arbor Fluff Rug Company, located where the YMCA is today, where he supervised a staff of more than 70 and built most of the machines used to make those Fluff Rug Company rugs all by himself. He was a great marketer, sponsoring floats and parades across the Midwest and riding high atop them, waving to the crowds. Ann Arbor Fluff Rug Company ads ran in newspapers across the country, featuring the company logo, an image of infant baby Geraldine lying nude on a roll of carpet. 50 sales agents worked coast to coast to sell those rugs, and all this effort combined to make the Ann Arbor Fluff Rug Company the largest rug manufacturing factory in the United States for a time. Geraldine grew up a musical prodigy like her father. Mr. Schlemmer was never formally trained in music, but he could play several instruments by ear if you gave him a few minutes to mess around. When Geraldine was 5, she sang publicly for the first time, standing on a stack of 3 Bibles so people could see her at the front of the church. She pursued her musical education into adolescence, taking piano and voice lessons at the Kempf House with Reuben Kempf and his wife Pauline. The Kempfs have been locally famous for 25 years, providing music lessons in their home at 312 South Division to children and adults. During the day, they always left the front door unlocked and their waiting area unattended so kids could walk in before lessons and wait on a big red sofa in the house. Geraldine attended Baugh Elementary, just a few blocks from where she grew up, then Pioneer High School, continuing her musical education with the Kempfs and performing around town. She sang in church each Sunday and had regular singing and dancing appearances at the Majestic Theater on Maynard. When she graduated from high school, Pauline Kempf helped arrange for her to go to the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, one of the top music schools in America. Geraldine worked her way through college, teaching music, working in radio, and writing for the Cincinnati Inquirer. After graduation, she stayed in Cincinnati until an offer to study music in New York City arrived, and she packed her bags for a new adventure. But her father fell ill, and she was forced to change her plans, move back to Ann Arbor, and pass on the Big Apple. It was 1936, and Geraldine was 28 years old and back in the house she grew up in, taking care of her father, who died in 1945 at the age of 81. She got back into teaching music and decided to pursue a job at the Ann Arbor News, showing up at their offices every day for a week until they took her in. That's where she met her husband, James Seaback, a linotype operator at the Ann Arbor News who helped typeset each edition. The two courted quickly and were married on New Year's Day, 1938, at the Michigan League. The bride wore a frock of chiffon in a soft blue-green shade with matching slippers and tiara cap that held a shoulder-length veil of the same shade. The groom wore who cares. The couple had a son, Dale, and then Geraldine got pregnant with her second. But life was about to get a lot harder. People didn't talk about the fact that James Seebach left Geraldine, alone, a mother of two. Newspaper articles say she found herself alone after the birth of her second son. A memoir written by a woman who worked closely with Geraldine later in life says he died, which wasn't true. So Geraldine was either telling people her husband had died, or they just assumed. Now she was without a partner and in dire need of an income. That's how she got back into teaching music. With her mother pitching in with the kids, Geraldine joined the music department at St. Thomas High School, teaching music all day, then returned home to give private music lessons until 10:30 at night. When the last student left, she washed clothes for extra cash, then got 2 or 3 hours of sleep, only to do it all over again. Somewhere in there, she played piano in the fledgling Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra, right around the time they performed their first concert at the Michigan Theater. She was elected the first female symphony president in 1947 and continued playing until 1950, when she stepped away to focus on making the orchestra bigger and better from behind the scenes. By the 1950s, Geraldine was teaching music out of a studio on East Liberty in the Pretzel Bell building, before moving into much nicer digs in 1961, at 320 East Washington, the current site of a Comerica Bank branch, which served as her home and studio. There she taught piano and voice lessons year-round, as well as holding special intensive summer music school sessions. If it had to do with music, performance, or pushing for women's involvement in either, it's likely Geraldine was involved. She founded the Ann Arbor and Michigan Women's Orchestra Association, charter member of the Women's City Club, Ann Arbor Civic Ballet, and Beta Sigma Phi business organization, member of a number of state and national professional musical organizations, member of the Washtenaw and Dexter Historical Societies, listed in the Who's Who of American Women, the National Register of Prominent Americans, and in the British Blue Book of Professional Women. And in 1963, she was named Ann Arbor Woman of the Year. That same year, Geraldine added another chapter in her life when she conceived of the wondrous and amazing Music Mobile. The Music Mobile was, actual serious copyright phrase coming, a music lesson on wheels. As Geraldine saw it, there were two challenges with teaching music. The first was access. Not every kid who wanted or would find value in music lessons could consistently make it to Geraldine's downtown studio. The second challenge was the home lesson. Geraldine and her peers visited homes throughout Ann Arbor, but the modern home was full of distractions. Telephones, televisions, thin walls, barking dogs, siblings, doorbells, an environment unconducive to focused musical learning. So Geraldine brought the music to the kids in a rolling music studio. The Music Mobile looked like a slightly more inviting version of Walter White's RV, the body of a 1963 Ford Condor motorhome attached to a Ford truck chassis. As an article in the fall 1963 edition of the Ford Times put it, quote, "The Music Mobile is tastefully and comfortably furnished. It has a spinet piano just back of the driver's compartment, washroom facilities, and a kitchen amidships, and a waiting room at the rear. It can be used for any kind of music lesson. There is even a plug-in socket for an electric organ." The idea for the Music Mobile came to Geraldine a few years earlier. She started talking to an Ann Arbor Ford dealer, and together they connected with some of the higher-ups at Ford to make her dream a reality. The Ford Motor Company custom-designed the Music Mobile for Geraldine. Cost around $5,000. She used the Music Mobile for 5 years, driving to central points in different neighborhoods around Ann Arbor and teaching lessons each Saturday. She made snacks in the kitchen and sometimes dinner, and a few times, when the weather was too rough to safely drive home, she slept on a waiting room couch which converted into a bed. Geraldine was a vocal proponent of the Music Mobile, which she was happy to talk to anybody about. But it's unclear if Ford built a second. When Geraldine retired in 1969 and moved to her country home in Dexter, she parked the Music Mobile on the property, where it remained as retired as she was. Geraldine continued volunteering for a number of causes while working on a children's book called Learn Music by Crayoning. Her sons, Dale and Terry, thrived in their respective fields. Dale followed in his mother's musical footsteps, playing violin in the Toledo Symphony and at the Sands Hotel, backing Liberace, Elvis, and Sammy Davis Jr. Terry went into business, working with companies like the Ann Arbor Bank, the Frisch Big Boy Corporation in Ohio, and eventually reuniting with his brother in Vegas for a stint at the Sands. In 1981, Geraldine was named an Ann Arbor Symphony board member for life. And in 1988, then Ann Arbor Mayor Gerald Jernigan proclaimed July 15th Geraldine Seebeck Day and designated her the First Lady of the Symphony. Now here's the only potential controversy in the Geraldine Seebeck story. There's no record of this proclamation at City Hall, which occasionally designated single, non-recurring days in honor of important people. The Ann Arbor News reported this, and I find it way too specific for it to have been a mistake. So, let the record show that July 15th, 1988 was indeed Geraldine Seebeck Day in Ann Arbor. Geraldine lived locally until 1994, then she moved to Harrison, Arkansas to be closer to her family. She passed away peacefully the next year, October 1995. There's no evidence of what became of that beautiful, wonderful music mobile. When Geraldine's story ended, so did its. Two beautiful marvels built in Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor Stories is presented by Rumblepack Media in partnership with the Ann Arbor District Library. This episode was written and performed by me, Rich Reddy, with sound and audio engineering by Brian Peters. Thanks once again to the staff of the AADL and their archive staff, who continue to comb the archives, digitizing old newspaper clippings and photos from Ann Arbor's past. We want to give Darla Welshans a special shout out for bringing this story to our attention and offering additional resources not found in the old news archives. Thanks for the idea, Darla, and amazing work as always. You should visit oldnews.aadl.org, put in some search terms, and spend some quality time in the past. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Ann Arbor Stories, or email us at annarborstories@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing. See you in 2 weeks.